Thank you for joining us. My name is Ralph Towers.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Volunteer Spotlight. Hope everybody had themselves a good April. Hope you guys didn't blow away in all that crazy wind and rough weather that we had. And if you guys celebrate, I hope you guys had a fun and happy Cinco de Mayo. That was a couple days ago. I know for me, I don't really celebrate Cinco de Mayo, but I take advantage of all of the refreshments and celebratory food that comes with it. So let's just say I had a lot of pozole that weekend. That was fun. But anyway, I'm really excited to bring you guys this episode this month. But before I get into it, there are a couple of little, of course, housekeeping things I'd like to get out of the way as usual. Our Aftersight Audio Trekkers hike is coming up July 27th, and it's going to be Myers Gulch. It's going to be awesome. We've already got people signed up. We've got even some registered guides, volunteers signed up for the hike, and I will be interviewing people on that hike as well. Also, we're kind of still in the beta phase or rolling out phase of this, but we are launching a new editing certification. So if you guys, ever wanted to edit your audio or, do more than just record and send it to us, that is now an option. So it's kind of a little training course you go through. It'll ask you kind of a bunch of questions. We'll give you a piece of audio to edit, send it to us. And if you pass that that course, then you will become certified and be able to edit your audio. A couple weeks ago, we put on this really awesome little volunteer brunch. That was actually the first event set up by our very own Jennifer Neptune, and it was, I want to say fantastic, but I don't feel like that really like sums up the event. The camaraderie was beautiful. I love this part of my job, is working with the volunteers, and I love just seeing everybody interact with each other, share stories, and just have a good time. But one of my favorite guests and somebody that I definitely, it was kind of hard to, we can basically go down deep rabbit holes about anything from amateur radio to audio equipment, is this month's volunteer of the month for May. And that is Ralph Towers. So, hey, Ralph, welcome to the spotlight. How's it going today?
Hello, Evan. It's great to be here.
Absolutely. Well, now that we've gotten past this rocky start of a show here, I'd like to start this interview off with a couple of fun little questions to spice the show up a little bit. So, being that spring is in the air, and we're seeing a lot more sunny days and a lot of, beautiful blooms and everything, what is your favorite outdoor activity to do around this time?
Well, it may not be everyone's favorite, but I really enjoy waking up the lawn and doing a little bit of weeding and so on. When a person is retired, some of the things that you used to view as chores become more pleasurable. And lawn care is one of those. And so that is really one of my more favorite outdoor activities.
Well, and there's a lot of smells and stuff that come with it. I was even talking to Jonathan a couple weeks ago on the Blind Level Tech podcast, and he was even saying, some people, put so much work into their lawn. It makes sense. And so, yeah, that's awesome. What's your favorite part about, what's your favorite thing to do in regards to lawn work?
Well, I'd have to say, not having any, this really sounds boring, but not having any dead spots, okay. After we often travel in the springtime. And so depending on how much moisture we've had, the lawn may be coming up pretty well, or it may be, on life support. So seeing the lawn waking up sort of in a uniform way, that's one of the better things about getting back into it.
I'd say it's like kind of a therapeutic kind of thing too for some, indeed. And last up for fun questions here, what is your favorite type of audio content to listen to? What do you enjoy the most? Music, audiobooks, podcasts, or something else?
I enjoy listening to audiobooks. I have a rather not a great habit of when I'm driving, I fall asleep.
Oh.
And so to stay awake when I'm driving long distances, I listen to audiobooks. It engages my brain just enough that I don't get too bored and drift off. So audiobooks are one of my top favorites, and audiobooks that are recorded by the author themselves, that's the absolute best.
It really is, and there's actually a difference. I've noticed as an audiobook lover myself, there's a difference between an audiobook that was narrated by somebody else versus an audiobook that was narrated by the original author, because the original author just seems to have obviously just more of an understanding of the book itself, and they're just more in tune with it.
I agree wholeheartedly.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite audiobook at this time?
Right now we're sort of between. My wife Dale usually picks out the audiobooks that we listen to, and so we enjoy the, I can't remember the author's name, but the character in the book is Gamache, and he's a French Canadian with the Sûreté, and that's one of our favorites. And we've got a couple of others that we've gone through the whole series with that author, and we're searching for another author to get involved in, and
absolutely.
So that's kind of where we're at.
That's awesome, though. I think for me, I think it's hard to, it's always hard to find a new book once you, especially, or a new series. So yeah, I wish you luck on that endeavor. Anyway, let's talk about how you first started out here at AfterSight, and really what made you want to become a volunteer in the very, very first place. I actually don't have it at hand at the moment, but yeah, how long have you been with us?
I believe Jennifer had said it's been 7 years. That probably sounds about
right. Sounds about right.
Yeah. There was a public service announcement, probably on a local NPR station, and it might have been from one of the television affiliates, about asking for volunteers. And so I, at that time, I contacted the late Kat Bradbury, and we arranged a time for me to come in. And I don't know that I was the first remote recorders, but because I live quite a distance from the studio, it would have been a tremendous advantage for both of us, for me to be able to record remotely, which I have been doing since the beginning. And I worked in campus radio, and I worked on a local public radio audio drama several years ago. So I had a little bit of background that I felt would be a value add. I've never thought a great deal of how my speaking voice turns out, but I haven't had too many complaints, which I take that as a plus. And so it was something that I thought it would be great to volunteer and also be something that I could do from home and that I found enjoyable. So it was like a win all the way around. I was hopeful.
Yeah, win-win for everybody. That's awesome. And what was it like for you the very, very first time recording? I assume you started with, and are, because you're still reading the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel, I assume. Is that what you started out with?
Yes. And I was offered the opportunity to read a newspaper after a while. That was the need at the time that I joined. And I was absolutely fine with that. And I was offered the opportunity to read something closer to home. And I said, no, I want to learn more about ideas and background of the West Slope, which I didn't have a lot of experience with. And so I've stayed with it, and I've been very happy that I have. It's personally a very positive thing for me to learn about Colorado. Is
about Grand Junction. Yeah.
Colorado is almost like two states, you know. There's like the Front Range, really three. You have the plains, very agrarian, and the Front Range, kind of urban, and then the West Slope, which is maybe more like Colorado, most of Colorado was a few decades. Like
30, 40 years ago, probably, yeah.
So it's interesting to hear perspectives from that part of the state and the concerns and the needs. And the Sentinel is an excellent newspaper. I'm really not prejudiced, but maybe I am.
No, that's okay.
I find it to be an excellent newspaper that covers local affairs and brings in information from a broader space as well.
Yeah, that's awesome. And because I got a similar comment on a different spotlight from a different volunteer that, yeah, like if you're reading for, you know, just a smaller town or a city like Grand Junction, that's, you know, in my case, you know, it's on the other side of the state. It's nice to get that, like that little piece of Colorado that you're otherwise missing out on.
Absolutely. It makes us understand when sometimes current events go sideways and we don't have an understanding of why. If there's a little bit more awareness of perspectives in another part of the state or another part of the country, I think it helps us have some empathy for opposing views.
I think so too, and it really does. It kind of helps you get more of like an open-ended mindset of current happenings and everybody else's, you know, and differing views and opinions and the like, for sure.
I agree.
Absolutely. Now, were there any personal barriers or just any hurdles or whatever that you had to overcome prior to and while being a volunteer?
Well, the only one being when I'm recording and I know I've made a mistake, and Pat always said, just keep talking, you know, just don't stop, keep going. And my amateur background in audio, that was the hardest part for me, which is why I'm so excited about the editing certification program that you mentioned earlier. And I'm hopeful that I'll meet those requirements so that I can expand my abilities. Yes, and I'm looking forward to that very much. And I once it's available, I'm hopeful that other people would be interested in doing that as well, because I suspect that will reduce the workload there at AfterSight. And correct me if I'm wrong, but a certain amount of time is spent in post, and some of that will go down. And I think probably everyone there will appreciate that.
Oh yeah, that'll be awesome. It'll bring more consistency to our programming, and it'll kind of help address that problem that you were just explaining, you know, a couple minutes ago. As far as if you make a mistake and you realize it, you don't have to just suck it up. You can hit stop, dial, you know, go back a little bit and cut that piece out. So yeah, really, I'm super glad that we've got that ball rolling and we're launching this little program, because. And we have seen some expressed interest in it already too from other folks. So I think it should take off pretty well. that you'd mentioned the word amateur a few minutes ago, and this is the dangerous rabbit hole that we're dancing around. In past conversations, you have mentioned to me that you are an amateur radio operator. Correct?
That is correct. I'm a licensed amateur radio operator.
Kila Alpha Zero Charlie Echo Tango, KA0CET.
And I had a license a number of years ago, and I let it lapse, and I wanted something in retirement. I joke that I didn't want to produce inventory. I didn't want to be making belts and bowls. So amateur radio looked like a great opportunity to do that. You reach out to people in other places, and there are some public service things like activities such as Skywarn and other things that amateur radio clubs do. And those were something, again, a volunteering effort that interested me. So a few years back, I started working toward getting my license back, which I did. And then I upgraded to the general class. There are, for people unfamiliar with amateur radio, there are classes of licenses. And as you work your way up in terms of demonstrating your expertise, you get larger and larger portions of the radio spectrum that you can operate within. And so right now, general class is fine for me. We have discussed it, and I'm hopeful that at some point in the near future, you'll be able to become involved as well as your schedule allows.
Yeah, absolutely. Amateur radio is an incredible thing. I mean, it's the thing I've always liked about it is that there's not a, unless we're talking like digital, there's not a reliance on the internet. And if cell towers and landline telephone service basically were to ever go down, I mean, we could still, at least, you know, me and my family and my loved ones could still talk on a simplex, basically from radio to radio, and we'd still be just fine. So I think there's a huge amount of value to it. And
it also offers the opportunity to learn about a technology. And what people very often have the opinion of, well, I have a cellular phone. Why would I want to get involved in amateur radio? There are so many aspects to amateur radio that go beyond merely voice and are involved with all the background work that has to take place. I was helping one of the local radio clubs take down some equipment that was on the top of a building over at the University of Northern Colorado. And so in addition to just doing what they call rag chew or talking on the radio, there are all the technical aspects of maintaining a radio system that involve that sort of work. And mm-hmm. I'm involved with a very technical a radio club here in Northern Colorado. And so it offers more than just talking on the radio. You have an opportunity to do a number of other things as well and find some portion of radio, amateur radio, that that you personally
meets your needs,
interested in. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of electrical ingenuity that goes around it, but I mean, yeah, I think it's a beautiful work of art. And yes, just to answer your question, I do plan to get involved in it too. But now, I always like to ask volunteers about any kind of prior radio or audio experience that they've done before prior to volunteering for AfterSight. And you kind of we kind of touched on this at the beginning of this episode, but I'd like to talk a little bit about your the radio and audio work that you did prior to volunteering here.
Well, as I mentioned, I worked in campus radio at mm-hmm. the Illinois Institute of Technology. That's quite some time ago. And that was one of my earlier efforts. I was involved in speech and theater at my high school and worked on some sound reinforcement related to events and so on, setting up for the various
different
things that came to our, we were fortunate, we had a 1600 seat theater at my high school,
and it
had a full size stage with wings and dressing rooms and so on. It was,
awesome.
It was a lot of favorable experience in that regard. And it's been several years ago now, but I worked on something called Rabbit Hole Radio. And it was a couple of seasons of audio radio drama. And so I worked on both sides. I was recorded a character in one of the episodes, and I also did some post-production where we would add to, you know, we would balance and sweeten the voice tracks and then add sound effects and music and so on. And so I worked on that. And so those are a couple of the things that I have done prior to working, volunteering with AfterSight.
Wow. Rabbit Hole Radio is, I just see some irony here just because of the style of conversation we've been having today and the level of, how easy it is for me as, you know, just a host to go down this kind of rabbit hole. I almost feel like this almost feels like its own special kind of version of Rabbit Hole Radio, if you ask me.
Well, certainly some of the names escaped me, the people who were involved in it, but they focused on stories from Greek mythology and other areas, and that was part of the rabbit hole part, you know, dealing with interpretations of historical mythology and so on. It was a lot of fun. It was quite a bit of work. The neat thing is, in addition to it being broadcast over the local public radio station here in Fort Collins, it was mastered down and placed on CD. So I've got copies of all the episodes, which is kind of cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's really kind of a nice keepsake of the efforts.
Always. I think and it's always good to have a keepsake of something that significant to you as well. So that is absolutely fantastic. Well, now it's your turn. Do you have any questions or feedback or comments for me or the entirety of AfterSight?
Well, I know a little bit of the history, just a wee bit of AfterSight, but and this may have been covered in some of your other.
Oh, that's okay.
But I'd like to know a little bit about how you became employed with AfterSight.
Okay. Well, very good. I've been listening to AfterSight since we were Radio Reading Service of the Rockies, back when I was 5 years old, because we used to have morning children's programming. And so I'd heard of these guys for years and years and years. I didn't really know too much about them other than, you know, they took newspapers and magazines and print publications and, you know, transcribed them into audio format. But other than that, you know, that was pretty much it. But then in 2020, I got offered an internship when I was attending the Colorado Center for the Blind in Littleton. And I came here in April 2021 and kind of began work as an audio technician, kind of like what I'm doing now. A lot more editing, though. And I loved it. I switched gears. I thought I was going to be an IT guy, but it turns out that's not as much my thing. I still love it, but to want to practice it professionally. And I worked 6 months as an intern and got hired on as audio production technician. And it's the amount of doors that this organization has opened up, not just for me, but for people that I've seen, you know, other listeners and volunteers. It's incredible, honestly. So.
It, for me as well, it opened up an interesting rekindling of an acquaintance. There's a woman who was daughter of my parents' friend, and when I mentioned during our Christmas card what I was doing with AfterSight, she reminded me that she worked with people who were blind as far as education, and she was, you know, very, very supportive of what of my involvement, and she was talking
I'm sure she's heard about.
She was talking. I got a card from AfterSight, and it had Braille, and of course she knew Braille, and she had Braille typewriters, and so I said, "What does this mean?" And I took a picture of it and sent it to her, and she responded right away. I believe it said "thank you" or
it did. Yeah. It does say "thank you" on it.
And so to have a friendship kind of reinforced by that was, you know, a really neat thing for me personally.
Okay, I'm super glad you told that story, and it really does bring to light what a nonprofit and a great nonprofit can do, and just what a great volunteer base can do, and just so much more than that. So, thank you so much for telling us that story. Now, before I wrap this episode up, are there any last words of inspiration or just last little things you would like our audience to walk away with in regards to volunteering or kind of any of that or any of what we discussed today?
Well, I'm going to start by saying Evan did not ask me to say this, but I'm going to say it. I want to invite all our listeners to just pick one friend that you think has the time and the initiative to volunteer. And it doesn't even have to be with AfterSight. It can be with whatever interests them that they know allows them to make a difference, but certainly with AfterSight as well. And it doesn't take a lot of technical expertise. Most people have everything they need already, or nearly so. And I invite people to get involved, because you can work remotely. There aren't many volunteer opportunities that you can discover nowadays that you can do from, you know, the comfort of your own home. It sounds cliche, but it's true. And I want people to think about that. It's much easier than they might believe to become involved with AfterSight.
Beautiful. You never know what doors might just be opened. Either. Well, Ralph, I'd like to personally thank you for coming under the spotlight with me today and taking the time to just chat with me. This has been a wonderful interview.
Well, I want to thank everyone there at AfterSight for bestowing upon me this honor of being Volunteer of the Month. I always look when I'm logging in my hours to see who the Volunteer of the Month is, and I consider it a great honor to have been chosen, and I thank you very much for that.
Absolutely. And congratulations again. Can't say it enough.
Thank you.
Well, everybody, that's going to wrap it up for today's episode of the Volunteer Spotlight. If you have any questions or feedback for AfterSight, or in regards to any of our podcasts, or if you have a question for one of our original podcast hosts, or whatever it might be, you can always, always email feedback@aftersight.org, or leave a voicemail on our feedback line at 720-712-8888. 5-6. With that being said, I'm your host, Evan Starnes. I really hope y'all enjoyed listening to this episode. Get ready for the hike in July, and I'll catch you guys next month.